Would you pray with me? Oh God, we worship you this morning, for you are worthy. You are the great promise giver. And in this Advent season, we both remember the expectation of your people for a promised Messiah and revel in the hope of a soon and coming King. We rejoice today that you have never reneged on a single promise, that expectations of the past and hopes for the future are all brought to consummation in your Son. For in you, eternity pervades both past and future. You pervade our time and space. In the midst of our troubled world, you bring light and life. In the midst of the sickness of sin, you bring healing and hope. And so we come today to this chapel service with all of the issues and cares of our lives, that we might hear the promise of the faithful one, not a promise only for the birth of a baby, or only for the arrival of a coming and conquering king, but a promise for this present moment. The promise of Emmanuel, of God with us, here and now, infusing our world with his glory and touching our lives with his love. Grant that we might see you today, that we might have a glimpse of your kingdom, and that we might give ourselves to it. We give you praise for this day and for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Our preacher this morning is Reverend Krista Klosterman, pastor of First Church of the Nazarene in Nicholasville. Actually, it's the only Church of the Nazarene in Nicholasville. Why do we do that anyway? I don't know. It just happens to be my church, and so for those of you who are majoring in syllogisms, Pastor Krista is my pastor. Pastor Krista came to us 2.5 years ago from Olivet Nazarene University, where she had been an instructor in Bible, and previous to that, she had pastored in Canada, where there was a lot more snow, a lot deeper, and the temperature a lot colder than anything that I think you'll expect to see this year here. At least we might hope that it's not too severe of a winter. Pastor Krista loves life and finds joy in volunteering at the Jessamine County Food Bank, in watching members of her flock move through difficult and perilous life experiences while hanging on to a faithful God. She delights in baseball, especially the Seattle Mariners. She's from Seattle originally. And perhaps especially takes joy in children. I wish you could have seen her last night at the Bring Your Favorite Kid service that we have once a month. She was having lots of fun. I think as much fun as the kids were having. And it was a great time of celebrating the birth of Christ. She has established herself as a faithful minister of the word and as a kingdom-focused leader in our congregation, and is finding roles of leadership in the larger community of Nicholasville and Jessamine County. And I'm pleased that our church can share our pastor with you in chapel today. Before she comes to preach, may I direct your attention to the word of the Lord found in Isaiah chapter 11. You may recall the song of the concert choir last Wednesday, The Dream Isaiah Saw. I had never heard that song before, and it thrilled my heart with a text. And I realized that the text was based on this passage of Scripture that I knew Pastor Krista intended to preach from today. Isaiah chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. Infants will play near the hole of the cobra. Young children will put their hands into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. May God bless the reading of his word and our hearing as Pastor Krista comes to preach.
When a stump stands in the path of the wind, what will happen? Anything? The wind might rustle the leaves of a tree, or when it is the strongest, the wind might knock a branch down or uproot the tree altogether. But what can the wind do to a stump? Can it do anything? This is the question on Isaiah's mind as he begins his words in chapter 11. When the stump and the wind oppose each other, which one will prevail? The glory of a tree is its tall trunk, its outstretched branches, its foliage that covers its limbs. When a tree reaches its fullest purpose, it provides branches so that the birds of the air can build nests there. It grows tall enough so that there's protection provided for small climbing animals from the other animals that crawl on the ground. When a tree has reached its fullest potential, it grows strong and tall so that those who might want to stop underneath can rest in its shade. It stands there, strong and promising, giving hope that not only will it grow higher and broader, but it will be there in the future. The glory of a tree is its tall trunk, its outstretched branches, and the leaves that it grows. For this is a tree truly being a tree. A stump, however, is only a sign of what was. A great and wonderful tree once stood here, but is no more. It's been cut down and pushed over. The trunk is nearly gone. The branches have fallen from their perch in the sky. The leaves are drying up and decaying because they are no longer connected to the root. A stump is a tree minus all of its glory. All that remains is its memory rings and its scars that tell the story of what was, what used to be, what is no longer. A stump's story is always about the past. There is not much it has to tell you about what will be. For what will be has been chopped down or removed. Stumps are a sign of endings. Something has been cut or torn or taken away. Stumps tell of dead ends and broken dreams. Stumps tell of fallen greatness and ended joy. Stumps signal an ending as if to say there is nothing more to live for. No more rings will be added to the circle of life. No more growth higher into the heavens. A stump is not the sign of the future. A stump is the sign of the past, what was and is no longer. When the prophet Isaiah speaks of Judah here in chapter 11, he decides that the best way to describe this people of God is by calling them a stump. A stump is the best symbol Isaiah can come up with for their situation. And in calling them a stump, Isaiah means to say that Judah's greatest days are behind them. They've hit a dead end. Their once glorious tree has been chopped down, and now they are only a stump compared with the greatness of Assyria and the nations who surround them as a forest. And you can be sure that when Isaiah calls Judah a stump, he is not paying them a compliment. Instead, he is holding up a mirror so that they might see the bleak reality that they are. Their leaders are wishy-washy. Their political decisions have been made out of fear. They have shown no signs of trust in God. Their borders are shrinking. Their walls are falling down. Slowly but surely, their political leaders have taken down their great and glorious tree, piece by piece, branch by branch, and only a stump remains. It's interesting here that Isaiah calls them the stump of Jesse. It's not the stump of Jerusalem or the stump of Judah. It's the stump of Jesse that he calls them. It's as if Isaiah is acknowledging just how much glory God's people have lost. Jesse, as you remember, is the humble father of the great King David. And the great King David represents all the glory years of Israel. With David on the throne, God's people enjoyed their strongest and most victorious years. It was during the reign of David that Israel's tree grew tall and strong and made its statement in the forest. David, the son of Jesse, represents their nation when it was tall and flourishing and meeting its purpose. And so when Isaiah calls Judah the stump of Jesse, it's as if Isaiah is saying all the great majesty of David's kingdom has been lost. All the progress that was made has been cut off. All the prosperity that grew in those years and in Solomon's reign after has been cut down. All that remains of that great and glorious tree is a stump. They are a nation going nowhere. A stump in the forest, quickly and completely overshadowed by the stronger trees around them. They are controlled by Assyria. They have been caught up in bad alliances. They are weak and they are vulnerable. They are a nation in decline. They are, sadly, a stump. And so Isaiah asks the question, what will happen when a stump with no glory and no future, what will happen when that stump stands in the path of the blowing wind? Will it just sit there as it always has, unchanged, unmoved, indifferent? What will happen when the stump of Jesse stands in the path of the blowing wind? If the stump Isaiah speaks of is the people of Judah in these bleak days, then the wind Isaiah has in mind is the breeze of the Spirit of God. It's the breath of God that blows where it pleases, the wind of God that comes to rest wherever it chooses. The wind that Isaiah considers here is the breath of God that breathes its life wherever it goes. When the winds of God blow, life happens. Where the winds of God's Spirit go, there is newness. Where God's Spirit can be found, there will be a future. The wind of God's Spirit likes nothing more than to infect its life in those around it. The Spirit is contagious. The wind wants nothing more than to spread its growth and excitement, its joy and its goodness, further and wider and beyond where it is now. And as it bursts with life, the things that surround it start to breathe with life as well. And so Isaiah looks at this broken tree, this stump that has no future, this dead end that is going nowhere. And then Isaiah considers the wind, this power that blows life wherever it goes. Isaiah feels the winds of the Spirit picking up strength, and Isaiah begins to ask, what will happen when that wind collides with that stump? What will happen when the powers that bring life and hope collide with all the dead ends and piled up failures of yesterday? What happens when the Spirit who brings newness comes to rest on a broken people whose best days are far behind them? When these opposing forces collide, who will prevail? The stump? The wind? Who will get their way? One says that there is no future ahead, that all that remains are the old memories of the past. Life has ended, there is no more ahead. And the other force is the breath of life, God's breath of life, seeking to fill every crack and crevice it finds with newness and understanding and all the possibilities that life has to give. When the winds blow over the stump, who will prevail? Isaiah doesn't hold the suspense too long. When he speaks, he doesn't so much announce the victor as much as he gives a play-by-play of the victory. Isaiah does not speak of the stump again, for he is too caught up in the life-giving powers of the blowing Spirit of God. The Spirit has come and anointed the stump. Its power of life within comes face to face with all that is dead and gone, and the breath of life prevails. Its breath penetrates deep into the stump until the tree comes to life again. The stump cannot resist this gift of a future. The result? It's a small but green and growing shoot coming from the rings of what used to be. Isaiah says nothing more about this old stump of Jesse, for he is too busy describing the newness that God is bringing to a broken and troubled people. From that old stump comes a sprout of new life, a shoot of hope, all sorts of possibilities. Wrapped into such vulnerable hope comes a new beginning for the tree of David. Judah might be chopped down with all its glory gone, but that does not mean the end. God's presence will do something new. With God's Spirit, there is life beyond the end. And so Isaiah begins to paint the picture of the future that awaits. The shoot will mean new leadership for Judah. If that was the part of the cause of all of their previous plight, then the result of this newness will have to be a replacement of leadership. Judah will have new leadership to take them into a new future. And this new king will be a refreshing new start. He'll be nothing like the kings they've seen before. In fact, he'll be nothing like the governing officials we've seen. He'll have a new way of doing things. He'll follow God's principles. What he says, he will do. He will have God's breath in him, God's life. The wind of wisdom will blow deep within him. And understanding too. The wind will blow and he will be filled with counsel and power. The wind will blow again and he will be filled with knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And this will make all the difference. When he sits on the throne, his first thoughts will not be to preserve his own power. When he makes decisions, he won't be trying to get his own way or to protect his own interests. He will be made holy by the wind of God's Spirit. He will delight in the fear of the Lord, and the people of Judah will have a future. He won't make decisions based on shallow appearances. He won't stand at a distance and listen to hearsay. His decisions will go much deeper than that. Enabled by God, he will have a divine wisdom that will penetrate deep into the heart. He'll judge the needy as God does, with righteousness and compassion. He'll do what is fair for the poor of the earth. His justice will be a refreshing change. He'll consider those on the bottom of the pile and not just those clawing their way to the top. He'll free those who are oppressed. And for those who are doing the oppressing, he will have sharp words of judgment. His righteousness and his faithfulness will be apparent as the clothes which he wears. When the winds of God's Spirit anoint this chosen one, good news will spread not just to the leadership, but the good news will spread to everyone. If power-hungry and wishy-washy leaders of the past had a way of making public life miserable, then this new leader, this righteous branch, will have the same ability because of his goodness and righteousness to make life for the people good. God's ways will seep like divine oxygen into every cell of his body. And once he is anointed with this divine breath, it will be the breath that he then exhales to the world around him. His breath will be filled with the knowledge of God. Everything will change. The whole creation will be made new as he is. All creation will become holy as God is holy. When this newness spreads from the wind to the branch to the creation around it, the whole world looks different. Isaiah paints the dream he sees of what will be. Perhaps what we could tell you, or what we could say, is that the vision that he paints is a vision of real life. The wolf and the lamb live side by side. No hungry growls from the wolf, no sheepish yelps from the lamb. Instead, there is peace between them. They can live together side by side with trust. So too can the leopard and the defenseless goat. No sharp claws, no threatening teeth, no spilled blood. The calf and the lion and the yearling will follow the lead of a little child. The little child will lead this parade of unusual enemies made friends. The cow and the bear will eat off the same plate instead of eating each other. Their calf and cubs will be the best of friends. The lion will learn from the ox a new meatless diet of straw. Infants will play near the homes of cobras in peace. The mother will not fear when her child explores the viper's nest with his fingers. This is the dream Isaiah sees. This is the real life, he says, that awaits. It's a far cry from the reality in which we now live. But Isaiah paints this picture of a world made new by the wind of God. It's a future for Judah that is the perfect picture of peace, where no harm is done, no destruction is there to clean up, no blood is shed. Instead, it is the knowledge of God that spreads everywhere. Wisdom and understanding flow until the whole world is covered with the wisdom of God. The wind will blow, the shoot will sprout, the righteous branch will lead, and all fear will be gone. Trust will be the order of the day. Innocence will be preserved. Peace will replace suspicion. Vibrant life will replace all destruction. Harmony will cover over division and fear. Brutality shall be no more. The righteous branch will replace it with God's wisdom. Out of the cracks and crevices of the old stump of Jesse, a new world shall be born. Isaiah's picture is clear. Wherever the Spirit of God comes to rest on brokenness, brokenness that has no future, new life will burst forth. The kind of life that gives birth to more life. It's a force to be reckoned with. It cannot be quieted. It cannot be stilled. God's wind will flow over, around, and through the earth until the whole earth is filled with God's purposes for life. Isaiah paints this picture of hope. It starts out small and it doesn't stop until the whole world, God's whole world, is remade in the knowledge of God. The church over the years has loved this picture that Isaiah has painted of a shoot sprouting from that old stump of Jesse. The church has pointed to that shoot over the years and has said, Jesus. That shoot is Jesus. That green shoot, that righteous branch, that is Jesus. Jesus, the one we've waited for, is the fulfillment of all that Isaiah has spoken. God makes possible a new beginning for his people in the person of Jesus. He is the one who leads in both justice and righteousness. He is the small and vulnerable shoot, that baby in a manger, the one who will breathe peace into all of creation. Isaiah's picture here captures the message of Advent, for it speaks of God's coming to us. It talks specifically about the two comings, particularly. The two comings with a capital C, I like to call them. The one is God's coming to us in the birth of Jesus and the life he lived on earth. And that second coming is the one we are still waiting for, where Jesus will come not in a manger, but with the clouds. That second great coming is where he will finish once for all this work of peace he has started. These two great comings of God give us much to celebrate this season. But as I hear this text, as I live in a weary world, I cannot help but hear these words and think of that other way the church has affirmed that God comes to us. It is God's coming with a lowercase c, the way he comes to us day by day to meet us where we are, giving us guidance and hope and healing. I cannot help but hear this text of Isaiah in a world weary of violence, in days filled with stress. I cannot hear this text without hearing the church proclaim that the winds of God's Spirit are still blowing. God doesn't just come twice. God keeps coming to his people. Over old stumps, over dead ends, over broken dreams, and through the failures of yesterday, the life-giving breath of God's Spirit is still at work in the world, in our world, in our lives. The Spirit is here bringing peace, bringing wholeness, building bridges, transforming relationships, opening the door to tremendous new possibilities. Where the wind of God's Spirit blows, life happens. The promise of this Advent text fills us with hope beyond what we can imagine. And with this great Advent promise comes the call to live into that promise. To call to trust these possibilities that only the wind of God can bring. To open our lives to the newness that can only be wrought by the wind of God. Friends, the wind of God's Spirit is blowing. And where the wind of God's Spirit blows, old stumps haven't got a chance. Let us pray. God, we sit here this morning and we know about brokenness. We know about endings. We know the question, can anything good come from this? We know about life slipping from our fingers. We know this question that Isaiah asks about stumps in the wind. Can anything new come from the dead ends of our lives? And we sit here hearing this word of hope. Hearing possibilities of shoots growing from stumps, of new redeemed leadership, of all creation being transformed into God's way of life. We hear these words and we wonder again at the possibilities. We come to see that our imaginations have been too small, for our God is bigger than we thought. God, these possibilities for newness are only available from you. Your faithfulness is what brings life that can make everything happen. You are the God who comes. You come in the midst of the busyness of the Christmas season. You come in the midst of the stress of the end of the semester. You come in all of our feelings of regret, of disappointment, of fear for what will be. You come and you bring life out of the most impossible of places. And we ask this morning that your Spirit would come and rest on us, that the winds of your Spirit would blow into every nook and cranny of our lives, that your Spirit would come over us, that we would be filled with all the life that you have to give. We pray all this in the name of your Anointed One, our righteous branch. Amen. Go forth into a world where the wind still blows. Go forth and welcome the winds coming. You are dismissed.